We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
The first law he signed is what was being called the Constitutional Carry Bill, which gets rid of the licensing and training requirement for Texans.
I'm signing seven laws that protect Second Amendment rights in the Lone Star State.
There is an active shooter at Robb Elementary. Law enforcement is on site.
Breaking news, an almost unspeakable tragedy.
At least 18 children and three adults killed in the mass shooting.
Outside of Robb Elementary School this morning, now the scene of the nation's second deadliest school shooting. It feels like the saddest place on earth.
We know from past experience that the most effective tool for keeping kids safe is armed law enforcement on the campus.
Police say Ramos, who was wearing body armor, was immediately engaged outside of the building by a school police officer. Ramos then shot the officer and made his way inside.
We support the right of every law-abiding American to be able to have a weapon to defend themselves. That is different from teenagers unlawfully getting access to guns to commit crimes.
These weapons were purchased legally in the state of Texas.
He purchased two guns on his 18th birthday.
The shooter, quote, had no problem legally purchasing the assault-style rifles used in the massacre.
My approach is to have multiple options. They are 15.
The Texas rampage comes just 10 days after another shooting massacre at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York.
Another mass shooting in America over the weekend, this time at a church in California.
So when people say I won't support guns, they're dead wrong. Boom!
A shooting happened in downtown Milwaukee and left 17 people hurt.
The deadly Sacramento shooting left six dead.
13 people are wounded.
A shooting at a car show in Arkansas.
In the space of just 16 hours on Sunday, there were at least three mass shootings.
Uvalde's mayor, Don McLaughlin, telling the Washington Post that there was a negotiator trying to reach the gunman on the phone. That he doesn't believe the negotiator knew that there were children alive calling 911 while the negotiator was desperately trying to reach the gunman. He failed to do so, according to the mayor. It comes as we have learned that those children called 911 again and again and again as 19 police officers were inside their school, outside their classroom, choosing not to go in.
When mass shootings.
And mass shootings here in this country, 212 this year.
We don't have a gun control problem.
So one out of every 10th mass shooting in this country happened in Texas.
Texas is now a Second Amendment sanctuary state.
Thank you.
promise love, a woman's touch. Strong mind, strong body, all the things I couldn't have, all the things I couldn't see.
Of the unspeakable shooting in Uvalde, Texas today. And while we can add our prayers for the dead, there is nothing that can ever be said that can approach the immeasurable grief of those families. But while we're at it, let's pray this time our leaders show a modicum of courage in trying to prevent this from ever happening again. But prayers won't end this. Voting might. So when you vote, ask yourself this question. Who, running for office, has publicly stated that they're willing to do anything and everything in their power to protect your children from the criminally insane number of guns in America?
Here we are again on another day of mourning in this country. Once again, we grieve for the little boys and girls whose lives have been ended and whose families have been destroyed, while our leaders on the right, the Americans at Congress and at Fox News and these other outlets warn us not to politicize this. They immediately criticize our president for even speaking about doing something to stop it because they don't want to speak about it because they know what they've done and they know what they haven't done, and they know that it's indefensible. So they'd rather sweep this under the rug. And, you know, most Americans support keeping guns out of the hands of criminals and children. The majority of us do, Democrats and Republicans. And the reason they call them common sense gun laws is because that's what they are. Common sense. 89% of Americans want background checks before a gun can be purchased, which is just the very least we can do. A bipartisan bill passed in the House. It's been stalled in the Senate for over a year now. They won't pass it because our cowardly leaders just aren't listening to us. They're listening to the NRA. They're listening to those people who write them checks, who keep them in power. Because that's the way politics work. That's the idea we settle on. So we tell ourselves, but it doesn't have to be that way. Not for this. You know, you can tell things are out of whack when the coach of the Golden State Warriors shows more leadership and passion than almost every Republican in Congress.
And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California, and now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight, but I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
And I say this tonight with the hope, not with an expectation, but with the hope that people like Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott and John Cornyn, people who were elected by Texans, will actually listen to it. Instead of going right to gun control laws don't work and we need armed teachers and guards at schools, if your solution to children being massacred is armed guards, you haven't been paying attention to what's going on. There was an armed guard in Buffalo. There was an armed guard in Parkland. There was an armed guard in Uvalde. They had armed guards. There were police officers armed on the scene. And these murders still happen. Firearms are now the number one cause of death for American children and teens. Number one. Senator Ted Cruz, I will say, is stepping up to comfort the people he serves, who is the NRA. Ted is scheduled to speak at an NRA event this weekend. And here's the thing. I don't believe Ted Cruz doesn't care about children. I don't. I refuse to believe he's unaffected by this. He's a father. I bet he went to bed sick to his stomach last night. It's easy to call someone a monster, but he's not a monster. He's a human being. And some people might not like hearing me say that, but it's true. So here's the thing I would like to say to Ted Cruz, the human being, and Governor Abbott, and everyone. It's okay to admit you made a mistake. In fact, it's not just okay, it's necessary to admit you made a mistake when your mistake is killing the children in your state. It takes a big person to do something like that. It takes a brave person to do something like that. And do I think these men are brave people? No, I don't. I don't. But man, I would love it if they surprised me. I would love it if any of these guys surprised me. I don't know. This is not a time for moments of silence. This is a time to be loud and to stay loud and not stop until we fix this. Some people say this is a mental health problem. Others say it's a gun problem. It is both, and it can be both. So let's work on both of those. There have been 27 school shootings so far this year in this country, and it's May. How does this make sense to anyone? These are our children, and our representatives are supposed to represent us. We want limits on who can walk around with an AR-15, and it damn well shouldn't be a teenager who works at a fast food restaurant. If we can't agree on that, forget it. This is not their fault anymore. This is now our fault, because we get angry, we demand action, we don't get it, they wait it out, we go back to the lives that we should rightfully be able to go back to. But you know who doesn't forget it? The parents of the children at Sandy Hook and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and now Robb Elementary School. They won't forget it. So if you care about this, and we all do, doesn't matter what party we vote for, we all care about this. We need to make sure that we do everything we can that to make sure that unless they do something drastic, that let's make sure that not one of any of these politicians ever holds office again.
Entrenched powerful forces have perpetrated a monumental decades-long fraud in convincing large numbers of people that it is their constitutional right to own arsenals of military-grade weaponry. And they've invested large sums in convincing people that that made-up right, a right five Republican justices essentially invented out of whole cloth not that long ago, is constantly under threat. And to be clear, that's not just my opinion. I'm not a constitutional scholar. So I didn't just come up with the take that the unregulated right to own military-grade weaponry is a fraud on my own. It was the opinion of former Supreme Court Chief Justice Warren Burger, a conservative who said this in 1991.
If I were writing the Bill of Rights now, there wouldn't be any such thing as the Second Amendment.
Which says?
That a well-regulated militia being necessary for the defense of the state, the people's rights to bear arms. This has been the subject of one of the greatest pieces of fraud. I repeat the word fraud on the American public by special interest groups that I have ever seen in my lifetime. Now just look at those words. There are only three lines to that amendment. A well-regulated militia. If the militia, which was going to be the state army, was going to be well-regulated, why shouldn't 16 and 17 and 18 or any other age persons be regulated in the use of arms the way an automobile is regulated?
He's right. The words well-regulated are right there in the amendment. There's no mystery. It's not Wordle or the New York Times spelling bee. We don't have to guess. The idea that the Second Amendment guarantees an individual's unregulated right to own an arsenal of military-grade weaponry is so insane and was shrugged off as ridiculous for so long that in 1982, Senate Republicans went to the absurd lengths of issuing a report that claimed to have discovered clear and long-lost proof that the Second Amendment was intended as an individual right of the American citizen to keep and carry arms. It is absolutely insane that Republicans claim to have found long-lost proof that changed the meaning of a document written in 1787 in 1982, which means, definitely means, one of them had just seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and then said, you know, sometimes people find old shit. I'm just saying. I mean, how'd it go down? Did Nicolas Cage find a secret post-it note hidden inside the Liberty Bell? We were so focused on the crack, we never looked inside. But that should give you an idea of how preposterous and unhinged this whole idea is. The side that claims to care about the plain language of the Constitution and the original meaning of the Founding Fathers had to pretend to unearth some secret hidden proof that the Second Amendment actually means something completely different from what it obviously says, which is totally divorced from how other sane countries deal with these kind of horrors.
26 years ago, Scotland had a school shooting that killed 16 kids and a teacher, and the government responded by enacting gun control legislation. And there hasn't been a school shooting in Scotland since then. In 1996 in Australia, a mass shooting killed 35 people. They passed gun legislation. They haven't had one since. This is the only country where this keeps happening.
Australia, the UK, New Zealand, Norway, they've all responded to mass shootings with stricter gun laws or campaigns to confiscate or buy back guns, and those laws have worked. Because, again, there is an obvious correlation between how many guns we have in this country and how many gun deaths we have. And, by the way, when local governments have tried gun buyback programs on a small scale here in the U.S., they've often been successful. In fact, just a few days ago, the police department in Sacramento held a gun buyback event in exchange for $50 gas gift cards. The event, which was supposed to last for 5 hours, got more takers than expected. The department announced just 45 minutes into the event that it had exhausted its supply of gift cards due to overwhelming response. But even more revealing than the success of the event itself were the reasons people gave for turning in these guns. Among other reasons, community members most commonly cited a lack of experience or knowledge with firearms, lack of knowledge or the legality of firearms, or an inability to safely store the firearms as the main reasons for participating in the exchange. It turns out some people don't even want these guns and would like to get rid of them. Imagine if we launch a national campaign like that, or like what Australia did in the 90s when it confiscated 650,000 guns. And as a result, gun deaths plummeted. As we've seen, gun safety measures like assault weapons, bans, and gun buyback programs have worked. They have worked in other countries. When we've tried them, they've worked here too. Our gun production and ownership rates are simply off the charts, incomparable to any other nation on Earth. And as a result, so are our gun deaths. It's within our power to stop this, and allowing these massacres to continue is, in fact, a choice, as Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy said in a speech on the Senate floor yesterday.
What are we doing? Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job, of putting yourself in a position of authority, if your answer is that as this slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing? What are we doing? Why are you here? I'm here on this floor to beg, to literally get down on my hands and knees and beg my colleagues. Find a path forward here. Work with us to find a way to pass laws that make this less likely.
This is a moment, if you are a person in a position of power, to ask yourself what you're doing to stop this. Because he's right. Why are you there? Why else are you in the United States Senate unless it's to raise money and give speeches and dole out favors and ride that secret little train in the Capitol basement that looks like the railroad to Disneyland, except instead of dropping you off at the Magic Kingdom, it brings you to Lindsey Graham's office? My office is like a castle, and that my meemaw calls me a little Prince Charming. And yet, maddeningly, there are those who claim to support popular gun safety measures but aren't actually willing to use their power to get those measures passed, like West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. CNN reported yesterday that Manchin says he would do anything I can to move common sense gun legislation forward, but still refused to eliminate the filibuster to get gun legislation through the Senate. Then you're not willing to do anything you can. It's like if you told your spouse you're willing to do anything to clean the dishes except get up from the couch. I can do it from here if you tie a sponge to a long stick. If you're willing to live with these horrors, then just say that. Just say you're willing to. But don't hide behind a procedural rule that, by the way, is not in the Constitution and didn't even exist when the Senate was created anyway. You guys all act like the Constitution has an entire section on the filibuster when the word isn't even so much as mentioned once. Maybe we need to get Nick Cage to burst into Manchin's office with a secret piece of parchment screaming, Joe, I found a note from John Adams in the Lincoln Memorial's taint. He said the filibuster is bull. This is the same Senate that moved with the speed of a Saturn V rocket to give Supreme Court justices more security when some people were picketing outside their homes. So that should give you a sense of their priorities. When they do want to protect someone, they're capable of doing it quickly. And while the Manchins and Mitch McConnells of the world are offering their empty words and refusing to take action, the most depraved people in our politics are suggesting that instead of doing the obvious thing that many other countries have done successfully, which is to simply pass laws regulating the number of guns in the country and the ability to easily get them, we should instead arm teachers and essentially turn schools into fortified military bases.
The most effective tool for keeping kids safe is armed law enforcement on the campus.
People, retired military, retired law enforcement, outside the perimeter of every school in the country, they can donate their time. We can offer them tax breaks, no income tax in the state, no income tax federally, 10 hours a week, and we could have every school in America covered.
We have to harden these targets so no one can get in ever except through one entrance.
What we need to do is utilize smart technology. That's what's needed. We need to install man traps. This is something we've discussed in the past, back in 2018. I checked. Man traps, a series of interlocking doors at the school entrance that are triggered by a tripwire.
We can't stop bad people from doing bad things. They're going to violate murder laws. They're not going to follow gun laws. I've never understood that argument. But we can harden these schools. We can create points of access that are difficult to get through. We can potentially arm and prepare and train teachers and other administrators to respond quickly.
Are you out of your mind? You guys want to turn schools into maximum security prisons with man traps and tripwires and teachers carrying guns? If these people had their way, everything would be a scene out of RoboCop. There are truly no words for how grotesque this is. They want to arm teachers, and yet they're not even willing to throw enough money at schools to get them history books that don't end with the fall of the Berlin Wall. And that's right there. Kids, that's how Ronald Reagan saved democracy. If you want to know what happened after that, get into college. And to the people who cynically parrot the mindless talking point that advocates for gun reform are somehow politicizing this, what else is politics for? It's a crisis, and this is what our political system is supposed to do, address the crisis. If that's all you can muster in the wake of this horror, that tired, empty mantra, then you need to look inward, because we can do something. We know from our experience, our own experience, and from the experiences of other countries, it's possible. It has not always been like this. It doesn't always have to be like this. We can change things. And if you're a person in a position of power, you must act. Because if you choose to spend this moment in the wake of this horror, using your power to do nothing, then you are a...
fraud. I repeat the word fraud.
I am sick and tired of the left-wing media, and frankly, people in this room today, spreading misinformation about Wayne LaPierre. Whenever there's a mass shooting, they all say that Wayne LaPierre isn't doing enough to stop these mass shootings, and even implying that Wayne LaPierre has played a part in making it easier for these shooters to get guns, to get weapons. You heard it after Las Vegas. You heard it after Pulse nightclub in Orlando. You heard it after Columbine. You heard it after Parkland. You heard it after Virginia Tech.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.